to look at John chapter 15. And as we're going to John 15, I wanted to remind us of some of the things that we talked about last week. And we started the idea of building godly relationships to the glory of God, and especially as it relates to our church. And so we came up with a couple of thoughts there out of Hebrews, where we need to help each other to grow in love and good works. And we're also to serve one another. And as we serve one another, we're exhorted, we're encouraged, that we do encourage one another, where he says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but as a man of sons, but exhorting one another. See, exhorting, encouraging one another. And if there's a place that we ought to be able to encourage one another is when we assemble with one another. And so we do that. It's like a double pronged attack. Just by our presence assembling with people, that's encouraging. When we have people missing, then that can be discouraging. We wonder what's happening. It may be sick in sickness in the family. It may be sin in the family. And so we wonder, we're concerned, and we miss it. But there may be some providence in that. God may have moved them for some other reason. But in any case, we are to encourage each other. We motivate people into love and good works, and we are serving one another. And so today, we're going to still go along that vein. As a matter of fact, we're going to go along that vein for the next several weeks and talking about our friendships. And I believe this is always true about our friendships. Friendships, relationships are always based on something. There has to be something like the same vocation. You know, like take my father-in-law. He was in the military. He was a hull maintenance technician way up there in rank, you know. And he was a great manager. He's a great sailor and loved God and was a good testimony and a big help to people. But my father-in-law, when I was talking to him, I liked some of those things, and I wanted to become an HT, a home maintenance technician. They call them HTs. The first time I was in the military, on my first tour, and so when I re-enlisted, I said, I want to cross right into the HT field. Well, he helped me to get there by knowing what the ropes were and go that way. And so there's this common bond that we had of an HT, and I could look to him and get some help and guidance in those areas. And of course, I was already married to his daughter, and so there's this bond that has to be there. The first bond I think we had was he was big and I was small. He was intimidating, and I was I got to toe the line here with him. But no, it wasn't that bad. But anyway, we had a common bond there. So there's common bonds that people have that bring us together that we could relate to and develop friendships with. And maybe certain people like certain books and they like to read, or certain hobbies they like to do. They like sports, or they might have the same spiritual interest. Their thirst, their hunger for God, you gravitated to that. And so you start talking with each other and you develop friendships, and there's a bond that develops. So all friendships are going to have some common bond in them that unites them. And with that, not everybody is going to have the same characteristics that draws you together. It won't be the same. Oh, there are people that we have in America that are in churches, and we say have 50 churches that help support us. And in those churches, we meet people. And so we meet pastors, we meet the people in the congregations, and we're only with them for a short time. But with some of those relationships, there's a bond that develops, there's a commonness that develops. And the biggest common denominator with us in our relationships is they have a love for God, and they have a love for lost people, and they have a love to see God magnified, and so they support missionaries and send them out. And so this, we want to do that as well, and so we're part of their mission program. And so they're interested in us, we're interested in them. When we get together, some of those people make a beeline to us to have a talk with us. And so there's this friendship that has developed. He doesn't have the common likings like, fishing or footing or whatever those things are that they do tap and around and on the fields. I don't know what they're doing there, but this looks like they're a bunch of vultures after one person chasing them, and he's running for his dear life. Very, very cruel of those people that do that. And the other defensive team, they don't even get in the way to stop them. They let them go at it. It was pitiful. So anyway, you can talk about those things. We don't have that. But within our body here, we do have certain things that draw us to each other. And we have closer relationships with some than others. Doesn't mean that we don't have them as friends. Everybody are friends with each other. We want to be friends. But it's okay that some relationships develop deeper because you're able to talk more about those common things and then you just do things together and so forth. Now, those are all good and they should be done. And we could say that Jesus certainly had his 12 apostles that were very close to him. They were his friends. But there was hundreds that were disciples. And then when you come to the day of Pentecost, when they were gathered together, there's about 120 of them. So 120 disciples, but there's 12 that was really close to him. But then when you look at those 12 that were really close to him, you find that three of them were really, really closer, right? Peter, James, and John. So there was nothing simple about those things. But when we look at Jesus' relationship with people, he did not develop cliques with the body. He did not develop a little group here and it's just going to be us four, no more sort of thing. He reached out to other people, and he was accused by the lost people, the religious people, religious leaders, but he was accused of being a friend to sinners. So he was a friend to them, and so we should be friends to everybody, be a friend to them. Doesn't mean we're on friendly terms, but we're supposed to be a friend to them still. And so we should be friendly as we operate within the confines of the Bible. And so I believe that when we have this sort of friendship and we're developing it properly, we understand that friendship is a two-way street. If you're going to have true friendship, both persons are going to contribute to that relationship there. So each person benefits. And so if you have a friend, you must be a friend yourself. Sometimes people will come to church and they will expect other people just to come and cater to them. And they, for whatever reasons, they just go that way and they don't talk to anybody. They expect other people to come to them. Well, you know what? There's something wrong with that because God created us in his likeness and his image. He created us to have a relationship with him. He created us with the ability, the capacity to establish friendships and develop and establish relationships and friendships. So we have to do those things. We must do those things. And everybody has different circumstances and different capacities that they have. And so it makes it difficult in developing friendships at times. But doesn't negate our responsibility to reach out to people and be friendly and develop friends. Are there risks involved? You better believe there's risks involved. You'll find out that there might be a friend that we didn't really want to have. I'm going to find out that a friend, his true colors came out later on. Can you think of a Bible example of that one? Judas. He had 12 of his closest friends, if you will. One of them betrayed him. So there's risks in having friends. Friends are going to fail us. We're going to get hurt by people. But that doesn't mean we should not still seek to be friendly and have friends and develop those relationships for the glory of God. So can we do this for the glory of God? Can it happen for the glory of God? I believe that, yes, we can have relationships and God can be glorified in our relationships with one another. And I believe, see, this is the God's character that we're made in, his image, his likeness. And so we should be like him in developing friendships. Does the Bible teach that all we like sheep have gone astray? Are we seeking God? We're not. Who came first to seek that relationship to be friends with us? That's the Lord Jesus. So if we're going to be like him, developing relationships, we ought to step out of our comfort zone and reach out to people. Develop these sort of friendships that glorify God. And so I want us to go through this series of messages on friendship and developing godly friendships. And I want to look at some of the key elements to having a quality friendship. See, sometimes we can look at for the wrong friends, and we have them, and we're not bringing glory to God in that relationship, in that friendship. But we ought to be able to strengthen our ministry and our fellowship here by being the kind of friend that God describes for us to be. A good word that would match this, be close to, is a fellowship. When we talk about fellowship with one another, this had to do with friendship in the sense that fellowship, the definition of fellowship or koinonia, that Greek word, is a close mutual relationship. Participation, sharing in, it's partnership, it's contribution. So you see that word fellowship is very closely tied to friendship, isn't it? And so we have that here, and we want to develop it. We want to strengthen that in our church. So let me ask you this, a good question. People aren't necessarily looking for a friendly church. They are looking for friends. What would you think about that statement as I go through this? Well, in a sense, I think that you should be able to agree with that. Yes, people are looking for a friendly church, but really they're looking for friends. And see, friends are what make a friendly church. So people come to church and they see the friendliness. It appeals to them. They're attracted to that. They see there's some commonality there that they're friendly. I like to be friendly too. Maybe this could be where the Lord would have us to serve in. And so there's this friendliness about us. Now, because we're relational beings by nature, it's natural. It's what God's designed that we would want to build friendships and to develop them in a godly way, in a way that honors Him. Now, sometimes people may not be the friendliest people in the world. And what about them? Well, they still can't be friendly. And just because they're not the friendliest people in the world does not mean that they are sinning. But like I said, we have different capacities and abilities and how we develop friends. But it is a heart issue, beloved. Because the Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So it's a hard issue that we're dealing with. Why is it a hard issue, I say? I'll say this. Does not the Bible teach very clearly in Matthew chapter 22, where someone came to Jesus and asked Him a question, what is the greatest commandment? And what did Jesus say? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And this is the first commandment. And He said, the second is namely this, to love your neighbor as yourself. So it's a heart issue, loving God from our heart and loving our neighbors from our heart. So the amount of love that we have for God will often show in how we love our neighbors. If we love God much, it'll show how we love our neighbors. If we love God little, it'll show itself how we love our neighbors, how we develop these friendships. So it's a matter of the heart. And so we want to always be mindful of that and develop this in our life. Now, a key passage on friendships is John chapter 15. If you studied John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, this is the time when Jesus was with His disciples at the Last Supper. You recall that? So there's five chapters that we're looking at a context. We're getting a bigger picture how this friendship fits in there. We're looking at five chapters there. And John chapter 15 has to do with these friendships and how we develop friendships. Remember this, that John 13, it would show that just prior to going to the cross, He's in the upper room with His disciples on the night of their betrayal. He was in the room there and He washed His disciples' feet. That was the big thing. He took all of them and washed every one of them their feet. And He taught a lesson there. We made mention of that before about servanthood. And so we're to serve one another. And then John chapter 14, back up in John chapter 13, He's talking about His death, how He's soon going to go away. The disciples weren't really getting all that picture, but He was clear about it. It was dawning on them. For a short time, we saw a little bit of a glimpse of that because He said in John chapter 14, there we see that Jesus was not going to leave them comfortless. He was going to be with them and say that this Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, He's going to send the Comforter whenever He leaves here. So he talked about that and looking out after him in that regards. And then John chapter 15, we see he's teaching them about three different relationships. In John chapter 15, we can break that down and you can study it for yourself. But in John chapter 15, 1 through 11, has to do with our relationship to him. Remember he said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. In verse 5, he said, without me you can do nothing. He said, so that you disciples, I am the vine and you are the branches. And I'm going to have you do things and you can't do it without me. And then the last portion of it, well, that portion will be 12 through 17. It's our relationship with each other. And that's the section we're going to focus on this morning. And then verses 18 to 25 has to do with the relationship to the world. So there in John chapter 15, let's read verse 12, okay? This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Let us pray. Father, we're thankful again for your love for us and sending your Son to be our Savior. And thank you, Lord, that one day we came to that point in our life where we realized Jesus Christ, he is the Savior of the world, and I need to be saved. And we have trusted you for salvation, forgiveness of sins. And now, Lord, you've given the Holy Spirit to us, and he helps us to understand these truths. He comforts us in all of our trials and the things that we go through. And he wants to have a part in our friendships, having the proper relationships as friends. And so I pray you'd undertake in each of our lives as we go through this, these studies, and I pray you will grow in it, and that we might be able to bring more glory to you in our lives and to be more effective as your servants. And we thank you for this. We pray that we might be like some of the men you called, like even Abraham, he's called the friend of God. Would it be that we are really his friend? So undertake with us, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so I believe we want to look at some ingredients that would show a quality friendship in just this passage here. And along the way, we're going to do on Sunday nights, not tonight, but Sunday nights in teaching, we're actually going to go through a study on friendships as well, on building genuine friendships. So there will be a handout as well, and we'll be able to study and have a lot of interaction as we go through that. But it's along the lines with what we've been discovering in the, you know, I did the survey, the questionnaire, put that out, and we had a lot of input on that. And we told you before that we're going to shore up those things that are strong, and we're going to strengthen those that may be weak. We're going to have some changes, some corrections where we need to do these things. But one of the things that stands out very loud and clear is the genuine friendship that is in our church, the friendliness, the care. And so why not, from the very get-go, shore that up? And so while we shore that up, we're going to find, while we're shoring that up, other things are going to come along the way and just be developed and strengthened just as byproducts. And that's what we go to the root of things. So we wanted to do this, building our quality relationships with each other, being godly in our relationships, and wanting to bring glory to God as we do that. So some of these ingredients are very clear. You can imagine verse 12. Let's look at verse 12. Verse 12, we said, this is my commandment, that you love another as I have loved you. All right, so obviously we would say that there must be a love for others. One of the ingredients to a quality fellowship, a friendship, is to having love for others. Now, I think we have to be careful that we're not loving everyone in general and loving no one in particular. How can that be? What do you mean? It's like we come to church, so we love everybody, but we're not really close to anybody. We're not getting close. We're not letting them in our space. Well, if we're not letting them in our space, then we're not really showing the kind of love that God would expect us to have. That kind of love we're talking about is not a filial love. This is talking about the kind of love that God has for us, and that's that agape love. And that is love without expecting anything in return. And so God expects us to love without expecting anything in return. So that love is a present active word. It would be like where we see here that you love one another, but it would be like saying, this is my commandment, that you be continuously loving each other. Continuously. All the time. So it's a big order, wouldn't you say? Certainly it's a big order. But it's something that we have to do that's a result of the Spirit of God dwelling within us. We see it in two ways. If we were to look back in the first part that we just didn't read, verses 1 through 11, where Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches, without me you can do nothing. So we have to first know Jesus Christ in order to manifest or show that kind of love, because it's his love that's going to be shown in us. And verses like we find in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22-23, that talks about the fruit of the Spirit. What is the first thing that the fruit of the Spirit is manifesting? Love, straight away. So we have to be in Christ to be able to love as God loves, and we can do that. We've been given that capacity because the Holy Spirit's in here, and he produces that in us. A person who says that they love God, but they don't love their brother, they're lying and they're in darkness. The truth is not in them. 1 John, again, talks about all that. So it will be manifested. It's there, and we're commanded to do that. So let that happen. So this love for people will flow out of our love for God, as we mentioned in Matthew 22, 36 through 38 or 39. And that was where we talked about loving God first, and then the second was, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So if we don't love God much, we're probably not going to love people much. But if we love God a lot, it's going to show up in the way we love each other. We got to get the vertical relationship right. If we get the vertical relationship right, the horizontal will work it out. But if we're working on the horizontal and not this relationship, then it's not agape love. Because the love that we have for one another becomes filial, fleshly, and not godly. Now, just because I say that doesn't mean that we shouldn't love one another and have that filial love. We should love you as friends, as people, because you're God's creation. I should love my children. My children should love me. That's that filial or phileo love. And that's good. You should have those things. But we're talking about the agape love. Loving without expecting anything in return. Giving of yourself to people and developing new relationships. Got to get out of our comfort zone. So loving people in particular is what we need to do. All right, if that's the case, you answer this in your mind, I might give you some answers as well. What would that look like, loving each other? Say, like in this situation, in Sunday school or Sunday worship, what would that look like Sunday mornings? How do we show love to one another on Sunday mornings? So you got your thinking cap on. I didn't really expect you to raise your hand or anything. I don't know if you did that, Pete. But I thought you might have. But what do you want to say?
Oh, I agree with that. Yeah.
He's saying amen.
I think it's a great
thing. You know what? It's amazing, Pete. That's the first thing I have listed on my list. Did you look at my notes when I set them up for that? Well, we was in there praying. That's what he did. He took it out of my Bible. While my eyes were shut. Okay, so yeah, by greeting people, that shows that we love one another. How about, would it be spending time only with one or two people? We may not have time to go talk to a lot of people because there are things we don't get to see each other during the week, but and we need to catch up. But should it be a common thing that, yeah, I may have spent time with one person today in between or two people? I would like to go to other people, but you'll see me throughout the weeks ahead that we'll be talking to other people as well. Why? Because we're greeting one another. So it shows that we are loving one another. Meeting new people that come into the church, that's a very important part of it as well. How about maybe on the weekends? What does it look like on the weekends? Perhaps maybe doing something, even if it's during the week, maybe meet up with someone to have a cuppa, if you can do that. Or just giving somebody a call. giving somebody a text message, sending them a note there. Maybe having people over to your house and or doing something with them. Showing hospitality one to another. That's loving one another. That's developing the friendship in a proper way. How about during our trials, time for trials? What do we do? What do we do? Why do we have prayer sheets? I think that prayerness, and we make mention of people in public so we could pray. So you're praying for one another. You're supporting people in some of the trials that they're going through that we're aware of. You know, sometimes we're not aware of things. Why? Because you can't be everywhere at the same time and know everything at the same time. It depends on people communicating with each other. If you have a best friend, we're going to go best friend stuff. We have a best friend and you having a serious problem and you're in the hospital and you're there for 2 days, but you never let anybody know that you're there. And then your best friend finds out and then you're all upset because your best friend didn't come and see you and best friend didn't call you. Well, isn't there something wrong with that friendship? See, friendship is both ways. It takes both people and both people benefit from it. And so just call that person, let them know that I have a problem here. This is a pretty serious situation or whatever it might be. Would you pray for me? Or I'm going through a battle. I'm in a pinch here. I can use your help if you can get it. So, yeah, during the week you can do these things. During the weekdays, weekends or during trials, we can encourage one another. What about when there's problems in relationships, when there's a conflict between you? What would you do? If you love one another, what do you do? What's the right thing to do? Well, the right thing to do would simply be to go to the Bible. Do the right thing by the person and follow what God says on how you resolve that conflict. And you work through that thing and you get help if you need help. Get counsel if you need counsel. Get people in that can help you. You keep your problems, though, to the fewest people as possible, to only those who need to be a part of it and to fix it. And sometimes that means you would have to call someone in to help. I've done it. I've consulted with people in our church at different times for different situations because I believe it's wise to do that. That's because they're friends, and I could count on them. What about during the good times when someone's prospering? The blessings are falling on somebody, but they're not on you. It seems like you are really, really going through the mill. It's like when it rains, it pours. It comes in threes, but now it's like three cycles of threes that I got. But the other people, you see them prospering. You see them blessed. What are you going to do? Get jealous and envious of it? And say, why, God, is this happening to them? Why am I not being blessed? Why are you doing them? I know them, and they don't deserve that sort of blessing. Mm-hmm. Well, I think we should instead rejoice with them that are rejoicing. Praise God that Pete got a $20,000 motorized wheelchair. Man, I like to have that thing, but no, praise the Lord that you got it. Okay, so now I'll give you one, but I'm going to put you in the shoes like he's in. Don't have a hip there. That's a pretty bad situation. Well, no, Lord, I think I better get that thing right. And praise the Lord that you gave it to him. He needed that. So you rejoice with people in the blessings that they have. That's loving one another. That's important. And be happy for them and thank God for them. When we have physical needs, some of the physical needs that we have, will you wash my feet? They need you washing. I don't want you to wash my feet. They're ugly. But, I don't even want you to see my feet. Hardly anybody even sees my feet. Do they? Oh, they're that bad. They were bright as white. And so there's a big glare. It's a flash. So, yeah, I always cop it whenever, even if I slip and my pant leg goes up a little bit or pull my sock down, and they say, oh! But no, physical needs. Can we meet some of the physical needs in people's lives? Yeah. Participate in physical needs. If we could do those things, wash each other's feet, if you will, when there's a time appropriate for that. John 13, that's what Jesus said. But how about when there's spiritual needs? Spiritual needs, yeah, we may have dirty feet that need to be washed, and we can help that. But what about the spiritual needs when we have dirty lives? Can we help each other in the proper way when we have dirty lives? We do that by telling the truth. Jesus talked about that. He says, now you are clean, but not all clean. So he was talking about that in John chapter 13. So, yeah, physical needs and spiritual needs by stepping out and positioning yourself to do something within your ability. If it's beyond your ability, see if someone else could help in that situation. Maybe you can't do anything. Maybe all you can do is simply commit it to the Lord and say, well, I'm going to pray for you. And that's about all you can do. But, you know, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So you can pray. That's a tremendous thing. So these are some of the things that you can think about. What is loving each other, how it's manifested in our body. You would all have to agree that we see that manifested time and time again in our church, don't you? You participate in it. Every one of us participate in it. But we are to grow in that. And you know what? This is not an area where you can bluff it. People know if you really care or don't care. They know whether it's genuine, if you really do love them. So we can try to get away with saying that we love somebody, but you can't pull the wool over people's eyes in that area. And that's one area that's just not going to happen. You can't fake godly love, because godly love really manifests itself. It demonstrates itself in a proper way. All right. We can see there, just simply verse 12, one quality ingredient, if you will, is to love others. How about a second one in verse 13? To have a quality friendship. Verse 13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So if you want to glorify God in your relationships, you'll treat friends just like Jesus treats you. Well, here's a big order here. It's not just about being kind. It's not just about being nice, not doing good things for someone. I believe it's more than that. It has to do with it has to do with wanting and doing what's best for them, and even if it means sacrifice, even laying down your life for them. That's what Jesus says here. So he expressed the highest form of love for us by laying down our lives for us. He laid his life down for us. Well, would we do the same for others? It wasn't just a good idea he was talking about, was it? Because in context, he said, I'm going to do this. I'm laying it. And this is the night he was to be taken away and to be crucified the following day. So in context, yes, it was about Jesus, about being crucified. And so a real friend sacrifices for those he or she loves. Yeah, we can give some more time to people. We can give some food. We can give some clothing. We can give some financial help. We can give a lot of different things. But genuine love, if the time comes, would we be willing to sacrifice our life, our body, since we're made in his image, will we be willing to do that? I would say that if we're not willing to wash someone's feet, we're not willing to lay our lives down for somebody. That's a reality. Can't do the simplest things, the littlest, the smallest things. We're certainly not going to be able to do those big things. I would say the lesson that we can learn from this is in that context of Jesus serving somebody, if we're not willing to do that, wash the dirty feet, then yeah, we wouldn't be willing to give our life down for somebody. Well, 1 John 3:16 says this, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Aren't you glad that God is very gracious to us, and we live in this body, in this life, and there's such a thing as progressive sanctification? See, we're growing. And as we manifest that love toward each other, we may get to those places where we're willing to lay our lives down for that person. But sometimes I can say that, you know, I don't know that I can do that. And I tell you, sometimes there have been some people in my life as Christians that it's like, no, I won't lay my life down for that person. You ever come across that? You ever think that yourself? Yeah, surely you have. So thank the Lord for progressive sanctification. We're growing. And our love will manifest itself. And if we can love in the small things that God brings across our paths, if we can manifest that love, when he's calling on us for some larger things, we'll be able to do that, more readily able to do it. So who are you willing to die for? Or who do you know that might be willing to die for you? What kind of friends do we have? What kind of friend am I? And then verse 14. Another ingredient would be, look at that verse. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. So obedience to the word. A good friend having a quality friendship in each other's lives would be those people who are obedient to the word. So the focus statement here is on the disciples. When he says, you are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you, he's already saying, he's not saying, I'm your friend if you do what I say. See, because he's already their friend. He's not saying, I'll be your friend if you obey me. But he's saying, you are my friends if you obey me, you follow my commandments. So he's a friend to us. Are we a friend to him? We demonstrate our friendship to Christ by our obedience to him. And I believe that when we're willing to follow his commandments, even when it's hard, that will demonstrate our real faith and our real love and our real loyalty to Christ. So we need to obey God's word even in the tough times. That's the real test. True friendship, biblically, is based on the word of God. That's our standard. That's how we go by. It's the standard of right and wrong. It doesn't mean that you do what's right in your own eyes. You do what the standard is and follow God's command. Think about this passage. In Psalm 41, verse 9, says this. Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. For Jesus, that was Judas, his own familiar friend, who he trusted, lifted his heel against him. Even a devoted friend can do that to us, can it? It could happen. We could be betrayed by friends. Peter, James, and John, for instance, they went to sleep in the garden when they should have been praying for Jesus. They were devoted, no doubt. No doubt Peter loved God, loved the Lord Jesus with all his heart, soul, and mind. But what did he do that night? He denied the Lord, not just once, but three times. So our friendships may not be perfect, but the Lord's friendship is perfect to us. So obedience to his word is what matters when we be obedient to him. To his. So God's word, that ought to be our common source for our friendship. It ought to help establish and strengthen our friendships. So whenever it's hard to develop a relationship with a person who has no regard for the word of God, we still have a standard on how we're supposed to behave. Even when people do us wrong, even if they're outside the church, but even in our church, we could do others wrong. But what does the Bible tell us that we should do? Well, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That's God's kind of love to do that. That's unnatural to do that for us. And then the verses 15 through 17, note this. I believe it has to do with proper, honest communication with each other. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of my Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. So Jesus told them all that they needed to know about him, his purpose, his goals, his future. He spoke the truth to them, and he spoke it very lovingly to them, and he spoke to them as friends and not as servants. So we should never look down upon each other as someone is inferior to us. Rick brought that out again. We brought messages on that where we're supposed to be like Jesus, where it says, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not on the things of our own, but on the things of others. We're supposed to be concerned about others. Take care of ourselves. Yes, we have that responsibility because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are his body. We are his. And we have families and we have responsibility to provide for them. But we should not do that so we're so focused on our own lives and all the things that are happening to us. And sometimes we are so busy in our lives, we're so occupied with so many different things that it's like we don't have time to cut out a time or cut out things to build a relationship amongst each other. So it's very difficult to develop those friendships. But we can do it with having the right kind of love with each other. And then when we do these things, we need to communicate truth with each other. We look at that word friend. This word friend isn't just like a friend in a limited way, like we talk sometimes. See, I have friends. I have some unsaved people who are friends. That's not the kind of friends that God is talking about here. You have friends at work, don't you? secular friends. We have those things. We have people, friends who are in other religious organizations. But that's not the friend that Jesus is talking about, how he uses that word friend here. When he's describing this, remember, he's describing people that are close to him and calling them friends. And this is used two ways in that day. One way was the inner circle around a king or an emperor, his circle of friends. The king will let the servants know a lot of things about him, the goals, the purposes of what he's going to do in the future. He talks to them about those things, yet they're his servants. And how about John 3:29, when you talk about the bridegroom and the man, the best man at his wedding? The best man knows a lot more than the other people know about what's going on in that person's life and what's going to happen in the future. And so Jesus is talking to his servants as friends, sharing with them these things. Isn't that what Jesus has done to us? He's accepted us that way and showed us so many things about a life, showed us so many things about his life, showed us the future and what to look forward to and that we get to have a part of. You don't tell servants that. You don't tell slaves all that stuff. But Jesus is quite personal, very intimate with us, letting us know this. And one person, I mentioned about Abraham. Abraham, he said in Genesis 18, verse 17, the Lord said to Abraham, and mind you, Abraham was listening to him, which is a good lesson for us to learn to keep our mouth shut when the Lord's talking. Eh? But the Lord said this about it. He says, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Wow. And we learn in James 2:23 that Abraham, he was called the friend of God. One commentator wrote this. It is this kind of a relationship that Jesus described when he called his disciples friends. It was certainly a relationship of love, both for him and for each other. The friends of the king could not compete with each other for attention or promotion. They were part of the inner circle, not to promote themselves, but to serve their king. What a rebuke this must have been to the selfish disciples who often argued over who was the greatest. So, we would certainly say the disciples would have got hold of that when Jesus used that word to them, you're my friends. So I've let you in on a lot of personal, intimate things and what's going to happen in the future. I've shared these things to you. And so as a Christian, as a friend, yes, there are things that we share with each other. And as our relationships grow and develop, we let each other in on more details of our life, don't we? We become more intimately acquainted with each other. We learn there are things that we can share, and there are some things we can't share. There may be, in the early relationship of a friendship, someone might ask you, well, do you have any needs? And they say, oh, not really, I'm all right. But then you might ask some questions like, how's it going at work? Oh, yeah, it's all right. Well, that's pretty good. What about, how's your wife or how's the children? Oh, yeah, well, I've got a little bit of an issue there. And, I'm sorry to hear that. And they might even tell you, yeah, so-and-so is crook and things are happening and I haven't had time to do things. And you know what? I didn't come out and ask them and get the information I wanted to find out what the needs are going that way. But as we're developing a relationship, that front approach early on, ask them what are your needs. They don't want to tell you that. I could find out what their needs are by going around the corner and getting those information. Then I might see what the need may be. It might be maybe I can help in that need, looking for that opportunity. But now you talk about 3 months down the road or a year down the road, and you ask that same question. You got any needs, sister or brother? What's going on? I see things happening. Oh, yeah, and they'll open their heart right up to you. See, the friendship has been developing. We need to learn when to share things and when not to share things. And as we grow, we will learn more about each other. And so you don't get offended by friends not sharing everything that you may know about them. They may not even be telling you about it. You don't get offended at that because your friendship is developing. It's growing. And as you go, you'll see that these things are just Satan is wanting to tempt you to hurt a friendship, not be like Christ in your reaction to that and think things that you ought not be thinking. But it's okay. that this happens. Jesus treated his disciples that way very clearly. John chapter 16, verse 12. Listen to what he said. This is in the next chapter. He said, this is all in context. Chapter 13 through 17. This is all that night. He said in John chapter 16, verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. But yet they were close to him. He was their friend. And you know, the preacher, he may have many things to say, but he can't say them now to you. Why? Because we as a body, in his estimation, may be the church isn't ready to hear something like that. They wouldn't be able to, they may not respond properly. What if I would have came to church here and I would have sent straight away on the first day that I was installed and I preached a message that was very hard to hear, and maybe it would remind you of your past relations with other preachers, with other churches, and that would remind you of staunch legalism and dictatorial type of leadership. And I would take a stand and I'd say, well, I want you to know, as we start this church, and we have my first service here, that we are a King James only people, and if you're not a King James only person, then there's something wrong with you. And then I might say that other things that, well, if you're not living for God, then bless God, you need to repent and get things right and walk on and forget about the past and let's go move forward. Do you think that it would go over very well? I have said all those sort of things, but I've said it in the proper way, in the proper time, haven't I? And I certainly don't have that attitude. Okay. So, but I have many things I have to say that I want to share with you, but you wouldn't be able to bear. You would do the same thing with us, me. You do that amongst each other. There's nothing wrong with those things. You're developing friendships, and you're developing quality, genuine, godly friendships that bring glory to God, and you're doing that amongst yourselves, and that's what God would expect us to do. So let us, as we're going to study these things out on friendship quite thoroughly, and would be quite different. So we'd have to ask ourselves, how are you doing in developing friendships within the church with new people, perhaps? Do you need to grow in your love or your sacrifice or your obedience to the word or your communications? I believe that the kind of friend that God has been to us ought to be at the forefront of our minds. If he was that kind of friend to me, then I should be like that to others. Let us pray. Dear Father, we thank you for the friendship of